New Zealand's relationship with China has come back into sharp focus following last week's criticism of the superpower by the intelligence agency Five Eyes. The Chinese hit back aggressively at a Five Eyes statement signed by New Zealand, which declared Hong Kong's autonomy and freedom of speech had been eroded by its giant neighbour. The exchange, including China's threat to, quote, poke out the eyes of its accusers, has prompted some experts to say New Zealand is walking a fine line with a country that is, of course, overwhelmingly one of our, if not largest, trading partner. We're joined now by the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. Good morning.
Good morning.
Poke out our eyes. Is that a threat?
Oh, look, it's not for me, Corinne, to interpret the statements of other nations. What I do know, though, is that, you know, on both sides, we've been really consistent on what we've been saying on Hong Kong. I don't think that for China, those statements will be a surprise. We have been, as I say, repetitive in some of what we're saying around Hong Kong, and that's been because we do believe that we have an interest there in the number of New Zealanders who do business in Hong Kong, the impact on those here in New Zealand who are affected by it. And so for us, the important thing is that we are consistent. You know, nothing that we say comes as a surprise to China, where our relationship is important. And equally,
sure,
their response is it's entirely...
Why aren't you interpreting the comments? Why aren't... I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Oh, you were just asking me to give an interpretation over what they meant.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
why wouldn't we try and work that out?
Oh, look, I take it as read. Obviously, it is a strong response, but equally, I'm not surprised by a strong response in the same way that they won't be surprised by what we've said because we've been saying it for some time.
Might they be a little bit surprised, though, that we did issue this statement as part of the Five Eyes... Well, it is a spy alliance. Why did New Zealand sign an agreement on foreign policy, which is effectively a spying network?
It's not an agreement on foreign policy. It was a statement. This is not unusual, Corinne. It was signed off by foreign ministers, and we've done the same in August. So since I've been in, it's not been unusual.
Okay, not unusual, but can you explain to New Zealanders what is the rationale for using the Five Eyes Alliance as a mechanism?
Essentially, obviously, a group of partners that we work with closely, where if we have a common view on an issue, we may issue a common statement. This just happens to be an issue where this is the view of New Zealand. It's something that we've said independently and that we're saying collectively as well. And again, it's not unusual for us to do that. Sometimes there'll be occasions where a statement may be made that we don't join. We do have an independent foreign policy that's really important to us. We will make a decision based on whether or not the sentiment is in keeping with our foreign policy position.
There will be some, though, who are worried that perhaps we're moving a little bit further into the Five Eyes. Helen Clark said in the RNZ podcast, The Service, by Guy Espiner and John Daniel, that she believed while the Five Eyes Alliance was a benefit, there was potentially, quote, a bit of slippage there in terms of independence. She went on to say sources in officialdom had told her New Zealand had got, quote, a lot closer back in and that could threaten the country's independent foreign policy. Is that a concern?
I had challenged that. I mean, well, I remember there had been times when, certainly since I've been in office, where we haven't been a party to some statements that may have been made, and then we're questioned for it. And then at that time, I again reiterate, we have an independent foreign policy. We will determine when we join statements and when we do not. But if the statement, of course, is reiterating something that we have publicly said, where we do have a common view, whilst, of course, as I say, maintaining our independent voice and position, then, yeah, we consider that case by case. But every time, it is a decision for us, Corinne, and I take that very seriously.
The APEC meeting over the weekend, Donald Trump was at that, the leaders' meeting?
He was in attendance. In fact, we had a full suite of leaders, the only replacement being for the President of Mexico.
And what did he say? Did he give any acknowledgement that he was going to be leaving office?
Oh, and so, here I do need to be cautious. The leaders' content of the leaders' meetings are not broadcast, are not televised. It's up to individual leaders whether or not they reflect on their own comments from the meetings. But yes, Donald Trump was in attendance. One of the interesting things, if I may throw this in, Corinne, as a consequence that has been publicly reported on, was President Xi from China reflecting on trade as being important to China. And you'll see some of the forward-leaning comments on the CPTPP. So that was a really interesting take-home from that meeting.
It is interesting because at the same time as China is pushing for multilateral trade in potentially in competition with an America First policy we've seen from the Trump administration, we're also seeing China flex its muscles when it comes to Hong Kong and free speech and these sorts of issues. So how is New Zealand going to navigate that?
And as we are now, look, you know, this is, we have, in my view, we have a very mature relationship where we are able to express concerns where we have them, but at the same time, we do engage with China constructively on
a range of issues. Well, they just said we run the risk of having our eyes poked out. That doesn't sound that mature.
Well, again, you know, I'm not surprised to have heard a response from China. We have made our views known. They've made their views known. And of course, you know, I am not going to stand in the way of any nation expressing a view when we've just taken the liberty of expressing our own. However, at the same time, I do believe that we have a relationship that allows us to do that. We do, of course, have an important economic relationship with them as well. It is about our ability to navigate both.
Okay, a quick run through some domestic issues. Peter Goodfellow's comments that you were, well, a tyrant during the COVID-19 lockdowns.
I'm not going to really read into that particularly. It was the statements made at a political conference, and so I view it with that lens. I have to say, I've been described as many things, but a tyrant isn't one I've heard before, Corinne.
The MIQ facilities, RNZ reporting this morning, $500 million for the year, $2 million a day. Is there any way to bring that cost down next year? Could you get, say, those coming back on holiday, etc., to pay more?
Yeah, well, look, we are already asking for those who are coming back for short-term reasons, you know, that are within people's control, that if they are doing that, that they will need to pay. Already we've only just recently had some of those first invoices starting to come up for payment, roughly $500,000 at this stage, and we expect that to grow. And so, yes, we do have that expectation. New Zealanders who are coming home for good, they're coming home for good, so we are treating them differently. But if it's a short-term visit that doesn't need to be made, we're asking people to pay.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, thank you very much for your time.